As we've been going through this process, there have been a lot of states that have been implementing new procedures to allow for both the economic nexus threshold. The only two holdouts thus far have been Florida and Missouri. And Florida did present Senate Bill 126 in the 2020 session. It died in the Senate appropriations on March 14th of this year, along with the initial surge of the virus. And so those were not related, but basically what happened there was that they were not able to get that through their legislature. But the taxpayers are dealing with this implementation throughout the U.S. There are a lot of taxpayers who were already selling to people in various states and had to very quickly triage their systems to be able to rewrite them to be able to start collecting and remitting tax. At this point, I think it was last week, I got a call from one of my clients and was able to put them in touch with one of my friends in Maine who does state and local tax work, because they had gotten a notification from Maine basically saying that they were charging tax as if the business had collected it all the way back to the date that the Wayfair case had come into play. And so the Wayfair case did not actually involve the state of Maine directly, but since the Wayfair case validated an existing Maine statute at the time, they're taking the position that it relates all the way back to the date of the Wayfair decision. Now, folks who had been relying upon the outcome of that decision to try to decide whether to update their systems to collect and remit tax in various states ended up in a difficult position, because then they ended up getting notifications from several of the states where they did have customers requiring them to either report or to pay an estimated assessment or go through the state's procedures to challenge that proposed assessment before it became final. And so that's going to vary in different states. One of the things that we always advise folks is that if you've got a situation where a state is contacting you either with a questionnaire. I mean, I know we don't answer questionnaires, do we? I usually don't. But if it comes from a state taxing authority, that's the questionnaire that you actually send a response to. You have to send a response, because otherwise they're just going to go in, they're going to make a proposed assessment, and then you're going to be in a position to where you might actually have to pay it first. Now, thank goodness in Texas, we were able to get a Supreme Court decision that says you don't have to pay if you can show that you're insolvent. But that was something that was very important to note, is that they needed to be responsive and at least communicate, but also find local counsel so they could properly defend against a tax being imposed where it may not have been due. So the marketplace laws have gone into place in 2020 and 2021. One of the changes over this last year was that Nancy Prosser left the state controller's office and moved on to the multi-state tax commission. So you just have me this time, not with Nancy. And Nancy may be a good speaker to add as well in another panel in the future, because multi-state tax commission does a lot of really interesting work. There is a lot of diversity in the different marketplace laws across the U.S. And so the National Conference of State Legislatures, NCUSL is what their abbreviation is called, and the multi-state tax commission are both involved in projects to try to get some sort of standardization in the marketplace laws. There are some opportunities for the Texas legislature to perhaps make some changes related to that as they move forward to try to become more consistent with other states. One of the things that the Texas Comptroller's Office sought to do in the local tax rule but ended up retracting was a change in how tax is collected. In Texas, sales and use tax, the local taxes, are collected primarily on the seller's place of business. And then if the seller's place of business does not have a local tax rate at that level, then it flips to the destination of the sale to the customer's location to find out what taxes do. For out-of-state businesses selling into the state of Texas, there are various tax rates that they need to be aware of, but they're generally going to be collecting based upon the customer's location. And so the idea is that there could be an equal protection claim related to the disparity between out-of-state and in-state businesses. However, there's also a long-standing history in the legislature and in the business world in Texas that says that if you have a local taxing jurisdiction that wants to bring in a big manufacturer, perhaps a manufacturer of computers, that location is able to give them certain other tax benefits because they know that they're going to be generating revenues on the seller's place of business because they're going to be selling a lot of goods that are going to be produced in the area. So these are all things that we are looking at. If you look at page 15 of your written materials, I've got a few links. I know that there are a lot of things going on multi-state, and the different states are basically taking different positions related to what constitutes economic nexus. Rather than try to go back through a lot of those, what we recommend is kind of going through these sources where they've already pulled together a lot of the procedures for the various states and the thresholds. So you can evaluate, and if you have not yet triaged your business to get to the point where you know where you're going to be responsible for taxes, that'll help you to determine where to really be focusing on registration and reporting.